Scroll through Disney content on TikTok and you'll see them everywhere. Adults on rental scooters clutching slushies, completely overwhelmed by meeting cartoon characters. Or what about this viral clip of a 28-year-old from Ohio meeting her favorite character Goofy for the first time? She's in floods of tears at the prospect of finally meeting a person in a costume. These are the Disney adults, and their behavior is exactly what you'd expect from young children. In fact, walk around a Disney park today and you might expect excited children running about screaming with excitement. But instead, what you get is young and middle-aged adults wearing fancy dress, pretending that they're 10 years old again. Only about 37% of Disneyland visitors live in households with kids. The rest are just grown-ups without children, treating their love for Disney like a personality trait. Disney is obviously aware of this and noticed that this was happening and pivoted hard. Now there's adult-only after-hour events where you can sip champagne while riding Space Mountain. There's an unprecedented 110+ venues across the park serving alcohol, and an even upmarket food and wine festival. Because what Disney figured out, and it's kind of genius, is how to trigger nostalgic childhood feelings in our adult brains. They pump specially engineered scents onto Main Street, a vanilla and baked goods mixture that's been tested to trigger memory. The castle and other decor is painted in neutral pastel shades that create what researchers call warm nostalgia. The employees go through this incredibly intensive training where they have to learn to never break character and to always maintain this continuous fantasy where the outside real world ceases to exist. The park really promises something powerful: simplicity, a clear division between good and evil, problems that resolve in minutes, a world where believing in magic might actually fix things, where the news doesn't even exist, where your biggest concern is which character breakfast to book and what ride to go on next, as time just disappears into the background. Disney is an emotional support system for people who can recite the words to The Little Mermaid or Frozen, but might actually struggle to make eye contact at dinner. And this is just a microcosm of something happening pretty much everywhere across society. Culture is becoming infantilized, and the concept of adulthood is dying, and we are witnessing the process of idiocracy happening in real time. Not long ago, adulthood was a privilege, a mark of respect, and something to be embraced. And the fact that it's not anymore is having huge consequences for everyone. And to understand this, let's talk about the term adulting first. This suggests that growing up is some kind of temporary performance rather than just what you are. People are starting to post about successfully scheduling dentist appointments like they've conquered something monumental. Paying bills becomes content worth posting to your story. Rachel Weinstein was a therapist in Portland, Maine, and she kept noticing something interesting. Clients in their 20s and 30s would mention almost apologetically things they'd never learned. How to sew a button, how to cook an egg, how to discuss difficult topics. These were people with degrees and careers. So in 2016, she started the Adulting School. People signed up in their masses to learn how to make friends, cook, and carry out basic home DIY. The concept spread to universities. Berkeley began offering 90-minute weekly sessions on cooking and budgeting, while Michigan State and others created their own adulting workshops. The funny thing is, Gen Z and millennials aren't stupid. In fact, they're the most highly educated and qualified generations in human history, and seemingly contribute more to the economy than any other. But for the first time in history, there's a massive gaping lack of practical life skills and common sense, the kind that people used to learn through osmosis. The death of adulthood isn't just reflected in everyday behavior, it's reflected in how our language has evolved too. Think of the word triggered. It used to describe someone's response to PTSD, but now gets deployed whenever someone encounters mild discomfort. Then there's self-care, which actually started as a radical concept from Black and Latin feminist writers talking about survival and oppressive systems. And this somehow morphed into buying bath bombs and skipping work emails. Everything is self-care if you squint hard enough. Watching reality TV is self-care, ordering takeout is self-care, ghosting your friend's birthday party is self-care, because crowds are just too much right now. And what about bed rotting? Spending entire days in bed, scrolling through TikTok, ordering DoorDash, binge watching Netflix, sometimes for 12, 14, 16 hours straight. Even all of this has been rebranded as self-care. Staying in bed all weekend is just protecting your energy. What used to be concerning behavior is now a wellness trend with millions of views on social media. And then there's the word toxic, which became the universal descriptor for anything uncomfortable. Toxic workplaces, toxic friends, toxic boyfriends, toxic girlfriends, toxic family dynamics. The words got so overused it's completely lost its power. When you watch clips from old TV, you realize that people were much more philosophical and articulate in their speech. They never resorted to buzzwords to describe complex ideas and emotion. Check out this 1966 BBC video of children discussing their predictions for the year 2000. and how articulate and smart they come across, and how eerily accurate their predictions actually are. One kid says the world will be overpopulated and risks nuclear war.
Well, I think that it'll be so overpopulated that there'll be wars, all nuclear explosions and everything.
Another speaks about automation and people being out of work.
There is going to be all this automation. People are going to be out of work and a great population. I think something has to be done about it.
Perhaps most haunting of all, one says people will be treated as statistics more than as actual people.
I think it'll be people will be regarded more as statistics than as actual people.
As we can see from this clip, people looked radically different back then too. Remember this viral image of Sean Connery in 1964? He looks like he could sit in board meetings and negotiate international treaties. Thomas Brody Sangster in 2024 looks like he needs permission to stay out past his bedtime. Generations of adult kids or kiddos are now simulating whole new economies that are flipping business models on their head. Lego is a company that has always been quick to catch on to new trends, and they introduced their Adults Welcome branding in 2020, with their revenue increasing to $10 billion within a few years. You can now buy Lego sets that cost a whole monthly paycheck. Think of Hello Kitty. This character is literally 50 years old, she's been around since 1974, but somehow the creators managed to reinvent her for a completely new generation of adults. Then there's the whole blind box craze that's absolutely exploded and is now worth billions from practically nothing. Popmars, the Chinese company behind many blind box brands and characters, basically created an empire around not knowing what toy you're buying. It's a cube-friendly form of gambling. These companies have become brilliant at reading the room. They figured out that adults desperately want to feel something, and apparently what we want is to feel like 8 years old again. And yet this is a subject that's hard to find accurately reported information about, because the media always spins this into a political narrative. Which is why you should check out ground.news/moon, as Ground News gathers stories from over 50,000 sources from around the world every day. For example, let's check out this story about how studies show decline in human intelligence, where researchers from the University of Texas concluded that the mere presence of smartphones reduces our available cognitive capacity. With Ground News, we can see this story is being covered by 27 total news sources. 4 are left-leaning, 3 right-leaning, and 4 are in the center, with a bias distribution of 36% left, 36% center, and 27% right. We can then compare all the headlines and do a bias comparison of all these stories, where we can see some left-wing sources use this information to explain internet trolls' views on gay people. And we can also see how the right claims this might be coming from a digital media revolution. You can then even click each source and actually compare the headlines yourself, as Ground News allows you to really see the political agendas behind your media consumption. Like we can see with their blind spot feed, where you'll find news stories that have little to no reporting by one side of the political spectrum, and their My News Bias dashboard will even give insights into your reading habits to see where you're getting your news from and if you have any blind spots. So check them out today at ground.news/moon to get 40% off unlimited access this month. It's for these reasons that in 2024, kiddos officially overtook preschoolers as the biggest toy buying demographic on the planet. And of course, look, there's nothing dramatically wrong with adults buying the old nostalgic toy or enjoying things from their childhood. As a one-off, these things are great. But when entire corporations are pivoting their business models because grown-ups have become their primary customers, that tells us something bigger is going on here. And in some cases, this obsession with toys and childish interests has become downright disturbing. The TikTok account for Teletubbies, a show for toddlers, started making content for adults, participating in TikTok trends with suggestive imagery and music. Oh, and an underwear brand even launched a Teletubbies range. Like, that's not weird at all. Some of this is part of the age regression community that has multiplied lately, with adults buying cribs, sippy cups, and dummies marketed as stress relief and sensory aids. What started as legitimate therapeutic techniques has morphed into something much stranger, with entire marketplaces selling adult baby products. And they say art imitates life, and if you really want to see how dramatically our artistic culture is being infantilized, just look at movies. They perfectly illustrate how the West is progressing from the intellectual, the complex, the experimental, and the philosophical to something engineered for immediate gratification and mass consumption, with absolutely no depth or meaning. Let's take Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey from 1968. The film opens with a very long scene of apes discovering tools. There's zero dialogue, no explanation, just classical music and slow, immersive visuals. You have to sit there for a while and think and process the scene. The whole movie asks massive questions about consciousness and humanity's future, all while giving you absolutely nothing in terms of clear answers. And people back then loved it. They would pack out cinemas to watch this stuff. 30 minutes of one long continuous scene. This wasn't just some niche art film. In fact, it's one of the most successful films of all time. Audiences saw it multiple times, trying to understand it. People have written essays about it and had lengthy arguments about what the ending meant. It's the inspiration for people like Christopher Nolan, and the confusion of the movie was part of the appeal, as the meaning of the film was subjective based on the viewer. And so, let's fast forward to now, and things just couldn't be any more different. Film producers like those behind Disney and the Marvel Universe have figured out this formula where every single moment is engineered for immediate gratification, with entire teams A/B testing on how to trigger your dopamine response to CGI effects. Everything is choreographed for maximum dopamine, with emotional scenes that last just long enough to register before getting undercut with jokes, constant visual spectacle, characters explaining the plot to each other in case anyone got confused. It's why Martin Scorsese has been such an outspoken critic of these films, as so many of them are just essentially the same story. Good guys fight bad guys, universe saved, roll credits, with major stars, CGI, and billions invested with psychological manipulation to keep you watching. And any films that dare to be obscure are rarely even commercial successes anymore. If you look at the top films of the 1990s and the early 2000s, especially compared to today, and you'll just notice this massive gap in depth and meaning. Instead of films like American Beauty being at the top of the box office, we just now get recycled Marvel and Star Wars films. The Avenger movies particularly are the pinnacle of this new formulaic film industry. They're 3-hour dopamine delivery systems, and it's kind of genius, as every 30 seconds something is designed to make you feel without asking you to think. There's a fake quip here, with some major A-list star, then there'll be a huge explosion over there, fan service moment, and just loud, continuous spectacle, on repeat for 3 hours. Star Wars has also gone on a similar direction under Disney, and it's probably even worse. Yet all of these films seem to be incredibly effective at what they do. It's why they're the only films that get hundreds of millions of funding anymore. But they're also exhausting in this weird way. You just leave feeling overstimulated, but empty, like you've been at a casino all day. And this transformation from 2001 to Avengers captures what happened to the arts. We went from wanting experiences that expanded our minds to needing entertainment that shuts them off. From quiet reflection and patience to panic if nothing happens for 30 seconds. Where people need to continually check their phone for the next dopamine hit if the film doesn't have another explosion in. Something deep has changed in how we process reward and satisfaction. Our dopamine receptors have been hijacked, and we've spoken about this on this channel for years now. But it's just so scary how much this really has changed, as our dopamine systems no longer work the way they're supposed to. When our ancestors heard a rustle in the grass or spotted movement in the trees, dopamine sharpened their focus and prepared their bodies to respond. It was the brain's way of saying, this matters, pay attention. The chemical helped them remember where they found food, which paths led to water, and what sounds meant danger. For almost all of human history, those dopamine hits came from real events with real consequences, and genuine accomplishments triggered genuine rewards. You couldn't just manufacture endless novelty. Sure, prehistoric humans found ways to amuse themselves between hunting and sleeping, but nothing like scrolling through brain rot clips all day, getting food from Uber Eats with 100 plus chemicals mashed into it, all while seeing more beautiful women in an hour that a king a few hundred years ago would see in a lifetime. And so now we're essentially running Stone Age software in a digital world. And companies like Disney have made billions from hijacking this, as they were one of the first to weaponize this vulnerability in human psychology. But it's easy to understand how this can be hijacked for content. But how has this spread to everything? Well, there's one theory about why companies benefit so much from the death of adulthood, and that comes from the French philosopher Bernard Stiegler. He argued that consumer capitalism isn't as effective with fully formed adults. And think about it, mature adults can wait, think critically, delay gratification. They fix broken items instead of buying new ones. Children, on the other hand, are kind of perfect consumers, especially when they have adult money, as they live entirely in the present moment. They want things immediately, they're always emotional, easily influenced, and highly responsive to bright colours and loud noises. This is why there's so much money to be made from advertising to kids. All the kid content on YouTube rakes in so much more money than regular content. And Bernard saw this as society creating people who are perpetually incomplete. Not broken exactly, but insecure, restless, and always needing the next thing. In other words, kidults are the perfect customer base. And companies have been actively exploiting this with what they neatly call persuasive design. They study the science of addiction or persuasion and apply it to games and social media apps to get people hooked. Shockingly, they're specifically targeting children with these techniques. Psychologists and children's advocates recently called out the tech industry for using psychological manipulation tactics on kids. They know that teenagers' brains are still developing, making them especially especially vulnerable to this type of stimulation and ultimately addiction. There's been national inquiries into this in countries like the UK, but nothing truly happens. And yet the death of adulthood is a huge benefit for companies and a huge cost to our health and well-being. Every time we choose the easier, faster, more stimulating option, we're training our brains to expect instant gratification. The brain is like a muscle, and if you don't use it properly, it weakens. That's a big reason why our attention spans are collapsing. People often say humans now have shorter attention spans than goldfish. Now, this isn't actually true, but the myth persists because it feels true. When you can't sit through a movie without checking your phone constantly, when you have to skip songs after 5 seconds, when you need food to be rammed with additive chemicals, sugars, and fats, of course then it makes it seem like our attention spans are shrinking. And what really is measurable is how our media has contracted. The average shot length in movies has plummeted from about 12 seconds in 1930 to around 2.5 seconds today. Modern films cut so frequently that modern movies now contain over 1,100 shots compared to a few hundred in older films. And if you think this was just because it was harder to film more shots back then, let's go look at music, where we see a similar pattern. Song intros have shrunk from 20 seconds in the 1980s to just 5 seconds today. Between 2013 and 2018 alone, the average Billboard Hot 100 song got 20 seconds shorter. The strange thing is how all of this happened gradually and then just suddenly. Each change seemed reasonable on its own. Why shouldn't a movie have more dynamic editing? Why shouldn't a song get to the point faster? It's reasonable until it's not. But there's an elephant in the room that we just haven't yet discussed, and that's the actual economics of trying to be an adult right now in the West. In 1970, the average age for a first birth was about 20 years old, and couples could realistically plan their lives. Back in 1960, the median home cost $11,900, while the median income was $5,600, which meant basically a house cost about 2 years of income. Today, of course, the median home price has climbed to 5.6 times the median household income. And in places like California, you'd need an annual income of $237,000 just to qualify for a mortgage on a mid-tier home. The number of under 35 still living with their parents has rocketed because many simply can't afford to move out. Living with parents is naturally going to make you feel like less of an adult. So, cultural infantilization is to some extent a form of psychological and economic adaptation, but one that's become self-destructive, and we've completely lost control of it. Studies now show that younger generations are burning out at 25. Previous generations weren't hitting peak stress until much later in life, when they had mortgages and kids to worry about. The concept of burnout wasn't even widely used until recently. It originated in 1974 from psychotherapist Herbert Freudenberger, who used this to describe heavy narcotics use. Today, the signs of burnout are written all over people's faces. Some call it the Generation Z stare, that blank, thousand-yard expression that was once associated with disassociation due to acute stress and traumatic events. It was even first documented in World War I and World War II soldiers who'd seen too many horrific things in combat. And you know where else you'll see that stare? Casinos, which also feast upon our dopamine. Walk through any casino floor and you'll see rows of people with that same vacant expression. Blank faces crowding around roulette tables. People sitting alone at slot machines, windows blacking out the entire place. The whole infrastructure meant to block out any sense of time, where everyone looks washed out and tired, but is unable to leave, obviously drifting in and out of reality. That's what the effects of overstimulation looks like. So here it is, we've learned how to stimulate the brain artificially. We manufacture that stimulus at a societal level. We feed it to ourselves all the time, and we've gotten ourselves completely hooked on it. So where are we heading from there? Well, have you seen the movie Idiocracy? We mention it regularly on the channel and even made a whole video on the topic. It came out in 2006 by Mike Judge, and everyone thought this movie was just a simple comedy about how stupid people might become in the future. Now it feels less like a satire and more like a real documentary filmed in advance. The movie shows a world where corporations have completely taken over, everyone's addicted to junk food and mindless entertainment, and people have basically forgotten how to think for themselves. The most popular TV show is called Ow My Balls, literally just a guy getting hit in the groin repeatedly. That's what passes for entertainment, and it probably would today too. The film was so accurate in its corporate satire that Fox Studios barely even promoted it, and only released it in 7 cities. As they were terrified of offending their advertisers, who was scared of waking people up to the reality of how dumb we're getting? Idiocracy isn't the only movie that saw this coming. Funnily enough, WALL-E came out in 2008 and showed humans who had become so dependent on technology that they literally couldn't even walk anymore, needing a constant screen and food at all times. They float around in chairs, staring at the screens, consuming mindless entertainment while robots do everything for them. And it's honestly one of the most eerie predictions I've ever seen in a movie. And then there's Black Mirror, which doesn't even pretend to be set in the distant future. Most episodes are set in the near future dystopia that feels uncomfortably close to our present reality. Social credit scores, virtual reality addiction, people rating each other on apps like Tea. Half of these things already exist. What all these stories have in common is they don't show some alien invasion or nuclear apocalypse. They show us defeating ourselves, rewiring our psychology, and preying on our dopamine to completely make us numb and apathetic. All through convenience, through comfort, through the gradual surrender of everything that makes us human. It's why we'll never see another movie like 2001 Space Odyssey ever again. There will no longer be Renaissance art, and it's gonna lead us to one of the most boring apocalypses imaginable. A slow death by a thousand tiny conveniences. Each one makes life just a little bit easier until we become soft, helpless, unable to do anything for ourselves. And maybe then AI will just take over.